Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We are in the process of trying to reach my guest, Andrew Harvey. We're looking forward to chatting with him about his publication that has taken him on trips around the world. It's called The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. So we will be hopefully hearing from him where he is on the road and he's going to be calling in to the studio. Meanwhile, I'm going to be moving forward because I had a real interesting batch of information that has been coming to me, and it all had to do with a level of personal responsibility. There have been so many conversations that I have had recently regarding that various aspect, that particular aspect, I should say, and so often we go, what in the world is wrong with things that are going on? Why is it that there's just not this accountability that we're supposed to have? And I thought, this is a course of conversation that's occurring on so many different levels with so many different people. Maybe they didn't feel like it was necessary to deal with before, but it's as if people are saying, yes, we need to have accountability. Yes, and to use a popular term, there needs to be transparency. And I think one of the best ways to start is right where we are, to really look at what we need as really a personal level of accountability. And I think that when we're involved in various aspects of life, it's so easy to blame other people or to just do whatever we can. It's somebody else's fault. And I want to say, nope, we really need to be aware of who we are, how we think, and to say, I have to be accountable for me. And in the course of a conversation that I was having with someone, there always is, gee whiz, the young people. And my feeling is that the older generation has a responsibility to be able to be an example to the younger generation. And it's really important. I wanted to share this. This is a little story that I came across, and it's about a little girl. She was once in a really bad mood. How many of us get in bad moods? We all have bad moods. Well, she got really upset. Remember, she's a little girl, and she had a younger brother. And she was just not having a good day. So she started off teasing him. But eventually, she started punching him, pulling his hair, kicking him in the shins. And the little boy, her younger brother, he took it for a while. After all, this was his big sister. And after a while, he started fighting back. Normal course of action, wouldn't you say? Defended himself. But when she started kicking him, that really hurt. So what did he do? He's the little one. He goes going to his mother, complaining about what his sister had done to him. And so the mother goes to the little girl and asks her, why did you decide that you were going to pull your brother's hair and kick his shins? What got into you? And she said, well, it's not my fault, Mom. You know, I just had these feelings. I did decide that I was going to pull his hair. But you know what? I got so mad. I was just so upset. I decided I needed to do even more, and that was to kick him in the shins. Well, Mother wasn't too happy with this. And this little girl was punished for her actions. And then she said, this is not appropriate. This is not what you do. This is not good behavior. And if you have something on your mind and you really want to express it, come and talk to me. But don't beat up other people. How would you like if it was done to you? And I think so often we take things out on others. Now, this was something between two little kids. But you know, it's amazing what adults do. And so many times in everyday life, there are those people that decide they're either going to bully others or they're going to take it out on someone and make someone else pay for what they feel they don't need to be responsible for. So somewhere along the line, there has to be an accountability. There needs to be a recognition that we are responsible for our actions. No excuses. We know right from wrong. And we need to owe up to that responsibility and to recognize that it's up to us to make the choices in our lives. Now, lots of times life dishes things out to us that we don't expect. Maybe they are not really deserved. But nobody have told you that life was going to be fair. So when we look at the way things might be in our lives, and trust me, I don't care what generation you're from, you're always going to have stories to tell about how bad life is or was and what you went through. With all of the interviews that I've done through the years, whether it has been someone, believe it or not, as young as 12, or someone that's in their 90s, each and every individual has stated how they had to make choices and that nobody else made those choices for them. They made it for themselves because they wanted to make those choices for themselves and thereby take control over their lives and be able to say, I did this because I felt this was the right thing to do. Sometimes those choices are not such good choices. I've made some lousy choices. What about you? But when we owe up to them, believe it or not, we end up finding a level of freedom. Because when we recognize that we can make choices, and that is a big space to be in, to recognize, that empowers us as people. It also creates a level of thoughtful alertness, too, when we're able to think things through. Sometimes we're in situations that we can't think that fast. Well, then we learn. But when we take that level of personal responsibility, when we are accountable, it makes a difference. So I think as individuals, when we do that for ourselves, then we can live our life as an example to others. Not hold it over their heads or say, gee, do it just the way I do it. But say, personal accountability is important. Don't blame anybody else. Ask yourself what you want to do with your life. And your life is going to be much better than you ever could have imagined. Because that is what freedom is all about, the right of choice. And choice, many times you learn about choices because of experiences you've had. That just seems to be part of life. And as I was telling a caller earlier this week, there is no silver bullet and there are no shortcuts. Well, we're still waiting to hear from our guest, Andrew Harvey. I do not know what has gone on, but we're just going to keep on going. So if you want to give me a call, telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I wanted to just share a story with you that was brought to my attention. I'm always fascinated with the unique and the unusual. Why? Because so frequently it's unpredictable. And in 1990, there were some very, very interesting levels of research that were going on. In fact, in Pennsylvania, Joseph Nuzum was going through testing regarding his ability with psychokinesis and pyrogenesis. Now, Dr. B.E. Schwartz documented all of the testing that was done and discovered that Joe had this phenomenal ability to melt insulated wires inside of a 9-volt radio, which, by the way, was a brand new radio, without being anywhere near it. This is a fact. Now, as a child, he was able to cause papers and ice cubes, figure that one out, to spontaneously ignite. He would hold molten metal and extinguish cigarettes telepathically. Now, what's going on here? That's what science was trying to find out. Now, these are some of the other things that he could do. Think of how nice this would be, especially if you were on a trip. He could telepathically turn on a light bulb from a distance. Wouldn't that be handy? You wouldn't have to have an automatic timer in your house. Focusing on a cardboard safety match, which would suddenly fly off of a countertop, and then minutes later, you'd smell smoke from a nearby paper bag that had caught fire. Psychokinetically, he would ignite candles. He could burn papers inside of closed jars. He could set fire to sails of toy sailboats on a pond, and was able, after opening a jar of apple juice, enabling that juice to burn. He had gazed at a tissue in his home and having a towel in a friend's home 11 miles away, and it caught fire. He caused keys and business cards that were wrapped in plastic and mailed in a cardboard box from Florida to his home to arrive twisted and charred. But the box itself was not burned. He said he feels that his abilities are very similar to those refined abilities that someone who is a martial artist who concentrates energy from the body into the hands and directs it. Now think of all the sci-fi movies that have been made about the, you know, different talents. You have these cartoon characters. I'm trying to remember the names of it, the something four. And one could create fire. The other one could create ice. This type of thing. Let me share a story with you, and this is a true story. I was working for a company in Glendale, California. It was a color processing firm. And this was a number of years ago, and I was talking with one of my coworkers, and we got into the psychic area. And, of course, I told them some of the things that I had done and what I was involved with. And this one guy's name was Marv. And Marv said, oh, I have got to tell you this story. I don't share it with many people because they think I'm nuts. He said, I have this buddy. And he really was fascinated with anything that had to do with Tibet. And there was a lama that came into the Los Angeles area, and he said he was able to sign up for one of his classes. And he said, my buddy told me, and he said he was so excited about this, that he goes into the class, and the lama that is teaching the class has a glass of water. And he said, okay, I want to show you something. And he held the glass of water in his hand, and all of the water in the glass, within just seconds, totally froze. He passed it around. And he said, what happened? They said, you turned the water to ice. He said, okay. And then he took the glass back, and this was not a magic trick. He then took the glass back, and he melted the ice in the glass so that it went back to water. Well, everybody was just oohing and aahing over this. They thought this was absolutely amazing, which it is if you haven't seen something like that before. It really is amazing. And he said, okay, now we're finished with the special effects. Let's get down to the class. He said, water can exist in many different states, and the only thing I did was create an energy shift that allowed the water to solidify right in front of your eyes. So these are stories. There are people that have abilities like this. We're so fascinated with the result that people will say, oh, isn't this wonderful? Well, with Joe, with all of these talents, with being able to burn things, with being able to cause an ignition with an ice cube, what we're dealing with is a level of energy. And he doesn't understand exactly why it's working the way it does, but he's able to utilize it through his entire nervous system and create that physiological change. But my challenge to Joe would be, after you get done, just like this teacher did with special effects, now what are you going to do with it? How can it be put to use in a constructive way? What is the value of this ability? This is something that when we get involved into the paranormal, the psychic area. This is where people will go off on tangents and say, oh, this is bad, this is something that's terrible, this is the work of the devil, or they'll come up with some excuse without understanding that there's natural law that's at work here. I am not a chemist, I'm not a scientist, but there is a natural law that is at work. So part of the adventure when you get into what is considered the study of the paranormal is how can you utilize these laws so that they can be useful in everyday life? How can you generate this energy so that it can be of constructive use, not destructive use? How could you channel energy like this so that it could be effectively utilized maybe to generate power? And how can you take that energy and make it something that is going to produce a result that is going to educate the areas of science, like quantum physics, so that we can go into new paradigms? Today's world is demanding that we be inventive. Today's world is demanding that we come up with unique, resourceful ideas to make our world a better place. All of these things have merit. So when we get stuck in the special effects, it's always a good thing to be able to realize. It's wonderful to see that. A flash in the pan is great. Having charred items arrive in the mail, fascinating stuff. But how can you use this in a way that is going to empower life on a certain level? What is that energy? How can we utilize it? How can we put it into, again, a positive form? It's a question I bet you Joe would not know how to answer, but he sure would make a fascinating show on stage. And obviously, the scientists just love it because they want to know how to do it. Amazing stuff. Donna Sebo here. It looks like my guest, Andrew Harvey. We have not connected again. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number if you would like to connect with me today. So whatever the challenges are in your life, if you want to call up and chat with me, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Not too long ago, I was sharing some ideas about work that is available where people are finding they can generate an income. A lot of people in today's world are deciding that they have to look at earning an income from different perspectives. Many of the jobs and environments that we thought were going to be around for a long, long time are disappearing. Yet what's happening, just like it always does, we are finding new paradigms are being developed, and having a business of your own out of your home is proving to be a big attraction for a lot of people. Women especially have always been drawn and attracted to what we call cottage industries. And for a while they were outlawed, and now they're coming back. But it was an industry that women in their homes would do sewing jobs, they would do various things where they could take care of their families and their homes and yet earn some income. And for so many, many years, women didn't have a lot of choices. Well, today our world is different. Today women do have choices, but a lot of them are deciding that they have family. They really want to do something at home. They don't want to be involved in long commutes. They wanted to do homeschooling. They're taking a whole different positioning with how they want their lives to be, but yet they know that their incomes are very valuable. Well, there's a woman by the name, let me look up her name here. Melissa is her name. And she just absolutely loves to sew and embroider and do crafty things, which many women do like. And she found that she could set up a set on the web, on the web. She had a virtual shop. And it's at a web you might be interested in, a website. It's called Etsy.com. That's Etsy.com. And it's an online marketplace, and they get over 1 million shoppers every month. And you set your own prices for your items, and they charge 20 cents per listing, and they take 3.5% of any sales that you have. Well, this is a woman who used to be a flight attendant. She's from New Hampshire, and she decided she wanted to sell the items that she was making for her toddlers. And she said, when people would see my children's clothes, they just said, oh, we want to know where you bought them. They are just absolutely adorable. Well, she made them. She is currently, with her line, littlegirlpearl.etsy.com, she's making $700 plus a month by doing her favorite hobby. You might want to make more than that a month, but remember, this is her choice. This is what she's wanting to do. So you can go there, you can find out your instructions, and you also can bid on requests at Etsy.com from buyers who are seeking custom handmade items such as a needlepoint purse or a wedding hairpiece. And we had a member of our family who was a fabulous artist, got involved with doing patterns for needlepoint, and she ended up having a business that was creating hundreds of thousands of dollars for her every year. And she had women who would do her part of her work. It was like an assembly line thing, and they were all in her local area, and she would say, I need these jobs done, and it had to do with certain stitching aspects, and she made sure that they were really competent and capable of doing what they were required to do. And these women, she would drop off the work. She had her routine every week that she would follow, drop off work at these women's homes. She had about 4 or 5, and I think it got up to about 10 women, and then she would pick them up. And it was marvelous. She was able to get a lot of things done. And she attended shows throughout the United States where she'd take orders from people and show new designs that she had come up with, because she was the artist. She was the person who had the vision for where she wanted the business to go. But these people were able to make a good income. She paid them very, very well for their piecework, as it was called. And my goodness, in today's world, she probably would be able to do the same thing, if that is what she wanted to do, right on the Internet. And word of mouth is amazing, but there are so many things that you can do you wouldn't even think of. Now, what if you're a person that loves doing office work? No, you don't want to go for any of these scams where you're stuffing envelopes, but you can be what's called a virtual assistant. This is absolutely awesome. Now, you can make the same amount of money as almost anybody in a regular office would make, $12 to $25 an hour, and you can do it right from your own home. You have to have a computer. You can make appointments for people. You can field calls. You can type letters, and you can even do bookkeeping. You might even want to work on site with the people. Now, you can design your own work schedule, and I personally know of some people who are doing this. Now, there's a young lady by the name of Cindy, because she did not want to continue doing her long commute. She decided she was going to do this, and she also was very disappointed because of the long commute that she had, which was an hour and a half each way, that she was not going to even have time with her family the way she wanted to. She said she works 30 to 40 hours a week, and she doesn't miss a single special event in the life of her family. Now, she's in her 40s. She lives in Colorado. She has 2 kids. Now, this is what you can do. You can go to teamdoubleclick.com, and you can upload your resume. And at this website, they will match you up with clients that have needs for your skills. And you can earn good money also as a transcriber. If you can type at least 75 words a minute, you can make up to $500 a week turning audio versions of interviews and speeches into text. Now, this is where you go if you're interested in this. You can log on to GMRtranscription.com. GMRtranscription.com. Upload your resume. You don't have to have any previous transcribing experience. And you take the typing test, they email you. If they accept you, you're going to have an opportunity to get a transcription job. So if you're the office kind of person, if you love doing that kind of work, here's an option for you. Also, if you love taking pictures, you can sell these pictures. That's right. You can make from a few $100 a month to several $1,000s a month selling stock photos. Now, what are stock photos? These are pictures that are used for advertising and promotion on various websites and magazines and brochures. And there's no limit to how many you can sell or how many times a single snapshot can be resold. Who would have thought you could have done something like this? Well, a young lady by the name of Nicole, who is in Utah, makes about $3,000 a month doing this. She used to be in the Navy, but she always loved photography, so she started shooting stock photos, and she said, no, it's a full-time job for her. Now, this is what you can do if this is something that fascinates you. Guys, gals, it's your choice. Upload your photos to stockphoto.com. Now, they pay 20 to 40% in royalties per download. There's also shutterstock.com, which pays 25 to 30 cents per download, or bigstockphoto.com, which pays 50 cents to $3 per download. Now, they're inspected. There are specialists that want to be sure that the quality is there, and they make sure it's a new original photo. And then your photos will be posted on a website available for purchase. Wow, who would have thought the technology would bring all of these opportunities to you? So many options out there. It does mean thinking differently, but why not? What have you got to lose? You've got so much to gain. And so it's being willing to open your eyes to various opportunities. And I don't care what your age is. It doesn't make any difference. You can be in high school, college, you can be middle-aged, you can be in your 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s or whatever. If you have a zest for life and if you have something that you absolutely love to do, there are many different ways that you can put yourself into environments that enable you to do what you love and achieve what you want financially. And in today's world, you don't know what part of the world you're going to be able to have an association with and who is going to find your services of value. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're getting close to taking a break. Telephone lines are open. Our guest was not able to make it today. Here's the telephone number to call in to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And when we come back, we'll have some other goodies to share with you, plus a scrumptious recipe. Oh, don't you just love it when the holidays come around? You know the recipes that you're going to share aren't going to have one calorie in them, of course. But I'll tell you what, that's what makes the holidays so much fun, are all of these wonderful, innovative recipes that people come up with. But you know what? You don't have to have a gazillion calories, and you don't have to gain 20 pounds. With the holidays coming up. Isn't it amazing? Thanksgiving is next week. So we're going to be sharing some things with you. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
This is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Telephone number to call in, toll-free worldwide, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also, I want you to know, all I need is your first name or your initial. And then after that, I like to know where you're calling in from, too. But then I will give you my perceptions, and you're welcome to ask me anything that you like afterwards. Now, for those of you in Western Washington, it's hard to believe, but November 21st is this Saturday, and I'm going to be joining a lot of people at a very special event in downtown Tacoma, Washington, and that is the Dickens Festival. What a great way to get ready for the holiday season, which, as we blink away, it's coming on with a speed that's just unbelievable. And we are going to be there in costume for this wonderful Victorian-styled event, and we invite you and your family to join us. Now, I'm going to be appearing at King's Bookstore this Saturday from 11 until 4, and part of the proceeds that will come from my doing many consultations there, I'm going to be giving as a donation to a charity that will be chosen by the people that run the festival this year. Every year they choose a different organization or group to support with all of the merchants that participate and the various individuals that are helping to make this event a success. We all donate towards this charity, and it's really very, very special to all of us. So if you can make it down this Saturday, it is a family event. Go to their website, DickensFestival.net. That's DickensFestival.net. You'll find all of the information, all the details about the wonderful activities that will be evolving this coming Saturday. Wow, time just whizzes right on by. Well, when we think we have learned it all, we have to learn something more. And don't think ingenuity is just in one little spot of the world. It is around the globe. In Madrid, Spain, there is a very special service that they're offering at car washes there. You take your car in, but they also have a coin-operated pet washing machine. I'd like to see that one, believe me. This pet washing machine enables animals to get a soapy wash, and they get dried for approximately $5. Wow, what a deal. That'd be interesting to see how that works. How do you keep, how do they handle it with the Rottweilers and the Chihuahuas? There must be something very special where they're able to adjust for the various sizes of animals. But I'd love to see one in action, because I don't know of anybody that wouldn't be happy to have something like that that could get their pet cleaned really, really taken care of. Now, there are some other things that I found out about that I thought, I can't believe this, but people are very innovative. Have you ever heard of a divorce cake? Well, I hadn't. Divorce, yes. Having a special cake for it? No. Well, there is a baker, his name is Georgius, from Berlin, Germany. He has a cafe, and he decided he wanted to do something that nobody else was doing. What did he develop? A personalized divorce cake. To celebrate the divorce, the split, he has designed cakes with a huge smiley face, or you can even have a torn-up photo of your ex iced on the top. And in Berlin, over 10,000 divorces are recorded every year. He thinks he's going to have a booming business. As I said, you never know what's going to be coming up in the way of an idea. We do, as human beings, have a very inventive side to ourselves. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay. How about a chocolate pumpkin mousse cake? Oh, yes. This sounds like a tough one, right? Wrong. It's really easy to make. So, get that pad of paper because I'm going to share this recipe with you that is made from a store-bought mix. Why not, if you're going to be going to a get-together at a home or whatever, maybe with friends, with family, Thanksgiving is next week, why not do something that nobody ever expects? This will be totally different, very unique, and delicious, and all in keeping with the season. Okay, here we've got ingredients now. You're going to need a cup of mini chocolate chips, 1 cup of mini chocolate chips. You're going to need a tablespoon of all-purpose flour, 1 package of Devil's Food cake mix, 1 package, your favorite brand, whatever it is, 1 can of a pumpkin pie mix, 1 can of a pumpkin pie mix, and then you're going to need 3 eggs, and these should all be at room temperature, by the way, 1 package of whipped topping mix, 1 package of whipped topping mix, 2 tablespoons of milk, and this should be whole milk, or you could use evaporated milk. 2 tablespoons of milk. You need 1 cup of butter at room temperature. Needs to be at room temperature. You need 1 pound package of confectioner's sugar. You need 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract. You want to have some food coloring. You have a leaf green, also orange. And obviously, just about all of us that bake have this. You need 2 packages, 7 ounces each of marzipan. 2 packages, 7 ounces each of marzipan. Then you need some whole cloves, and then you need 1 cup of dark cocoa candy melts from a 14-ounce package. So that's 1 cup of dark cocoa candy melts from a package. And then you may want to have for garnish fresh bay leaves, lemon leaves, or large mint leaves. But you need those leaves because you're going to be doing something special with them. So whatever works best for you. Now, this is what you're going to need to do. Set your oven to 350 degrees, and you want to preheat it. You also want 2 9-inch round cake pans. You want to be sure you spray them with cooking spray. And you want to toss the chocolate chips, that 1 cup of mini chocolate chips, you want to toss that with your flour and put that to the side. Now, you're going to need your cake mix, 2.5 cups of the pumpkin pie mix, and your eggs. They are all going to go into a big bowl, and you're going to put this with mix it all together with your electric mixer. And you can do it by, you know, with a handheld electric mixer, or you can, if you've got one in a stand, whatever works best for you. You just mix it until that cake mix, your pumpkin pie mix, and your eggs are just smooth as silk. That'll take you about a minute. Then you want to take that chip mixture that you have just mixed with the flour. You want to stir that in to the batter. And you want then to divide your batter between your 2 pans. You bake your cakes in your 350-degree oven for 26 to 28 minutes. Now, you want to use a toothpick. Check the center of your cake to make sure that it comes out clean. Just put it in there, make sure that it's finished. And then you want to cool your cakes, in the pans for 20 minutes. And after that, then you want to transfer them from your pans to your racks. You let those cakes cool completely. So your filling, and maybe you're off doing something while the cake's cool. Your filling, what you're going to do is take your envelopes of your whipped topping mix. You mix them in with your 2 tablespoons of milk and the remaining pumpkin pie mix until they're nice and fluffy. And then you put that in the refrigerator. And that's going to take about 20 minutes for this to set. And then for your frosting that you want, You want to beat your butter until it's really, really smooth and gradually add your sugar, your vanilla, and your 2 tablespoons of water. And on medium-high speed, you beat it until your frosting is light and fluffy. That's going to take you about a minute. Then, after you've got all that done, it really doesn't take that much time, but you are going to have those cakes cooling, and then once you have your mousse mixture, and that has to set, so that's going to take about 20 minutes. So when everything is all prepared, then the assembly is what you're going to work with. Now, you want to have your serving plate ready. Take one of the cake layers, put it on the serving plate, and you might want to use just a tad of frosting so that it anchors the plate. And then what you'll want to do is spread it with the filling, and that's your mousse, your pumpkin pie mousse mixture that you've had in the refrigerator. And you want to put that filling in there and then put your remaining cake layer on top of that. So all of that filling, that pumpkin mix filling, goes right in the middle. And sometimes when I'm doing cakes, I don't want that top layer moving. So, you know, those wooden skewer sticks, you can get them at the dollar store, and you can just anchor them in so your cake layers will stay balanced. Sometimes, for me, when I've done this, they just sort of move on me. So if you take one or two, I like to use two, and you just put them in and it anchors them so that they'll stay just the way you want it. Then what you're going to want to do is spread the top of your cake and the sides of your cake with frosting. And you refrigerate this cake until you're ready to serve. Now, you're going to want to have some decorations with marzipan on the top of the cake. And marzipan is just ground almonds. It's just, you can make your own if you desire. But you can buy it so that it's all ready to go. And you take 2 tablespoons of marzipan, and you want to knead your green food coloring into it. And then you're going to be making little pumpkins, and you can knead orange food coloring into the remaining marzipan and divide that into 12 equal pieces. You roll them into balls, and you want to press your toothpick against the side of each pumpkin in, well, you know, in intervals, so it just looks like a pumpkin. And for tendrils, you want to just roll tiny pieces of green marzipan into thin ropes and twist and attach. And you can use cloves to make the stems on the pumpkins. Now, for the chocolate leaves, this is all to decorate your cake. You line your baking sheet with some wax paper. Melt the candy melts according to the package directions. And then take a small brush, and you can spread your chocolate onto the side of the leaf that has the raised veins. You can do this with a bay leaf or, again, a lemon leaf or large mint leaves, any kind of leaf, just as long as it's clean. And just refrigerate them. Once you paint the chocolate onto the leaf, refrigerate it, and then you're going to be able to pull off the leaf, and you'll have this beautiful chocolate leaf. And so then you decorate the top of the cake with the pumpkins and the leaves. And your imagination, you can do anything you want. It's just absolutely delightful. But that chocolate pumpkin mousse cake will be unlike anything you have ever tasted, and it is going to be so good. And what fun. Just a real good dessert that has delicious flavor, and the pumpkin pie flavoring along with the chocolate is just spectacular. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Anna, I want to share a story with you about an American soldier and how he helped an injured Iraq boy. But before I go into that story, I want to let you know we've got a delightful guest, Robert Curran. We're going to be talking with him in Ireland tomorrow. And our subject, it's called Werewolves. Oh, I just love it. And he is the most delightful man. He's a historian. He's been on my show before. And he is just he's marvelous. This man does research, can tell us why we have adopted certain things and werewolves. I know we're past Halloween, but it's a subject that always can bring some interesting conversation. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Denny Stockdale, Conversations from the Neighborhood Ice Cream Shop. This is just a wonderful, wonderful man, and he's just got some bits and tidbits of wisdom that I know that you'll enjoy. And then if you love dogs the way I do, you're going to enjoy Dawn Cairns and her story about Maggie. Maggie is a wonderful dog, and we're going to be learning all about her. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people, and we've got a good lineup next week. Yes, Thanksgiving week. We've got some wonderful, wonderful things, and you're going to be able to hear it all right here on the Donna Sebo Show. So be sure and tell your friends, and we'll just share all this good stuff with them too. This is a story about Kevin Berger with Shahad. Shahad, I think, is your little boy's name. He's 6 years old. And it really is a story about how it doesn't make any difference where you're from. It doesn't make any difference what your ethnic background is. What makes a difference is how we treat each other as human beings. What are we going to do to make this world a better place? And Major Kevin Berger, he is a 49-year-old Air Force reservist. He's also a civil engineer. And he was in Balad, Iraq. Now, he was there to build broken bridges. He's like so many of our military. They get their job assignments, they go overseas, and he decided that he really wanted to go into the war zone because he wanted to learn how he could save lives. Well, one of his first experiences was really ugly. He was going to a hospital and found out that a car bomb had exploded in a nearby village. The ER at the military base was just packed. One of the victims of this bombing was a little boy. He was lying on a stretcher, covered in blood, and his father was there with him. And Major Berger looked at the Iraqi father, and the grief, the weariness that was in this father's eyes was just beyond description. War is ugly. Well, it really affected Major Berger. At home, here in the United States, he had a daughter that was about the same age as this little boy that had been so badly injured. Now, this was during the holy month of Ramadan, and it was in September of 2008. This little boy had been on his way to his dad's barber shop with two of his older brothers. Now, at the time, again, all of these kids were under 8 years of age. Their dad had been honoring the holy ceremony that he was going through, and they were going to get him because they wanted to bring him home for dinner. It's when they reached the front of their dad's shop that the car bomb it went off. The little boy's leg was badly mutilated. He had shrapnel wounds that were covering his face and his arms. Well, the father managed to pick him up, looked for his other sons, and he couldn't find them. A friend, seeing the distress and noting the severe injuries of the little boy he was carrying in his arms, rushed him to the hospital. The doctors took a look at the child and sent the father and son by chopper to the nearby Air Force Hospital. They knew they were going to have to amputate. Once they got him to the hospital, they were going to have to amputate the boy's leg below the knee. And there were two fathers that were in communication with each other, the American major and the Iraqi father. And the major had to tell the father that his son's leg was going to have to be amputated. Well, here we have two people from two different cultures. There was no animosity, no hate, but merely concern about a seriously wounded child. These men developed a communication between each other. Couldn't speak each other's language, but they still communicated. Major Berger, with sign language, asked if the father was hungry. And the father made a V with his finger saying, "I really need a cigarette." So he took him outside for a smoke. The bond between these two men from different cultures, though in a war zone, was becoming stronger and stronger. So Major Berger said, "I've got to do something to help this family." So he went back to the boy's room. He found out that when the father went home that evening, both of his other sons were dead. They had been killed. They were two of 31 Iraqis that were killed in the car bomb. This father was just devastated. Well, Major Berger checked in on the boy as he was recovering from surgery, and the boy was doing just beautifully. He wanted to know if the boy could have a prosthetic. They said, "We can't help this one child and not help the others." He really was wondering, how can we help these children? Well, the major found a website of a global medical relief fund. It's called Globe, GLOBMed.org, GlobeMed.org. Now, this fund, this global medical relief fund, provides prosthetic limbs to children injured in war zones and disasters around the world. They responded to him, and he was able to get an answer. But they said, "You know what? We are getting all kinds of letters from Americans because of the children that they're seeing that are wounded and damaged permanently." And they said, "You know what? We're going to be able to help this boy." So the plan was put together. The child, through an interpreter, was told what was going to happen. The father was made aware. They were able to fly this child to New York with his mother to be fitted for his new leg and to start physical therapy. Major Berger finished his six-month tour in Iraq, took his children to see this young boy, and he said, "You know what? It has really made a difference. My kids have been able to meet this young boy, see what he's gone through, and have a communication with him." War is ugly. These kinds of experiences create bonds with different cultures, with people as they should be. This is the way the world should be. Major Berger, I think it's wonderful what you did. And for the father and the family, the Iraqi family that endured such tragedy, and there are so many that are going through this, I wish you nothing but the best. But we need to have bonds like that so that our world can cease this crazy stuff we keep going through. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You make a difference. Be accountable. Walk your walk. We need more like you. We need more Major Burgers. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. See you tomorrow, right here, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.